我们现在开始第四次的讲座。
We start our fourth session.
在第三次的讲座的时候
，In our third session，
我们提到创造论的人，进化论的人就提到一些关于猿人的化石的问题。
We talk about the fossils that the evolutionists proposed.
所以有一些很重要的发现
，There are important discoveries，
是他们认为成为人与猿人之间的中间演化的物证。
And they believe that these are evidence of the link between the ape and the human being.
有什么爪哇猿人
？The Javanese.
有什么北京猿人
？The Beijing man.
有 Neanderthal man.
The Neanderthal man.
有 Cro-Magnon man.
And Cro-Magnon man.
有 Hyderabad man.
Hyderabad man.
还有英国的 Pildaw man.
And Pildaw man.
Tanganyika man.
Tanganyika
man. East African man.
East African man.
有再发展下去的时候。
And when the development went,
有一些的所谓的猿人的这个化石出现了。
Some of these fossilized things appear.
那么这些东西到底是不是进化过程中间非人非猿的中间的那些货物呢？
Are these fossils really the missing link between the ape and the human being?
是不是是人类真正的祖先呢？
Are they the ancestor of humanity?
如果你要这样讲的话，
If you say this is the case,
你就不是用科学，你只能用信心来相信接受这是人类的祖先。
You are not making a scientific statement, but a statement of faith.
但是最后的发现就是这些的所谓化石的猿人的这一个喉咙中间根本没有声带存在的地方。
But the latest discovery is that there is no providence for the voice box.
所以没有这个存在的空间。
There is no space for a voice box.
这就变成很大的问题了。
This becomes problematic.
因为人是唯一能讲话的活物。
The human being is the only living being that can communicate by voice.
人的文化里面，语言是非常重要的一环。
In human civilization, language is very important.
而语言是要把意义表达出来。
And language expresses meaning.
而意义是对真理的探索。
And meaning is the search for the truth.
真理的根本就是道。
And the basis of the truth is the word.
所以这样，当我们因为有道、有真理的观念、有意义的探索，用语言表达的时候
，When we have the logos with the truth, and when we express it in the languages,
这就使人脱离了生物需要的这种物质的生活的阶层。
It enables us to break through from the physical limitation of a living being.
我们就进到个灵界的阶层里面
，and enter into a spiritual realm.
这个不是动物所有的。
This is not what an animal can do.
所以什么时候能够从动物的过程演进到变成有灵性的货物呢？这是一件进化论没有办法解决的问题。
The theory of evolution cannot explain when we enter into the spiritual realm.
进化论最主要的几个学者，其中一个是 Henry Huxley， 另外一个 Spencer， 这两个人他们都异口同声讲一件很重要的事情。
And two important theory of evolution the scientists Huxley and Spencer said things at the same time.
如果英国在十九世纪没有这两个人
，In the 19th century, if there weren't these two persons,
达尔文的进化论很难推广到全世界讲英文的地区了。
The theory of evolution by Charles Darwin would not be propagated in English-speaking world.
所以这两个人功不可没。
These two persons were very important.
对宗教信仰，他们都同样采取了不可知论的立场。
They both have an agnostic standpoint with regard to faith.
但是从进化论，他们就采取了可知，而且认为这就是答案的立场。
But they affirm the theory of evolution and believe it to be a solution.
但这两个人有两件事是很特别的。
There are two things about them that are special.
就是他们都相信人类所有不同的肤色、民族的差别都是次要的，但是这些不同的肤色的人都有同一对的祖先。
They believe that people of all races must have come from the same source.
这是从这个心理学，从宗教的观念，从这个社会的现象中间归纳出来的。
This is a summary from psychology, from social studies.
所以呢，无论你的血型，无论你的肤色，无论你的种族有多大的区别，多大的不同。
It doesn't matter what your blood group is or the color of your skin is.
人类只有一对父母做最原先的祖宗，把这些不同的种族传下来。
Humanity must have had only one couple as the first source.
不但如此
，Not only this.
Thomas Henry Huxley 跟 Sir Herbert Spencer 都相信另外一件事情。
Huxley and Spencer also believe in another thing.
他们相信良心跟理性的存在，绝对不是进化的结果。
They believe that the conscience and the reason cannot be a product of evolution.
所以他们相信进化论的这个程序，但是他们没有办法解释，忽然间 从一个没有良心的货物变成有良心功能的人，这是怎样进化出来？他们没办法答案。
They understand the process of evolution, they cannot explain where the conscience come from.
在动物人中间，阿里索德发现了一个很重要的区别的本质，就是理性的存在。
Aristotle believed that the reason is the thing that segregates men from other living beings.
从进化的过程中间，忽然间没有理性的变成有理性，这个可能吗？他们两个人也没有给我们答案。
Both these gentlemen cannot give us the answer as to how a human being suddenly acquire reason.
而理性是西方分界人与动物之间最重要的差异的本质。
And reason is the most important essence that the West used to segregate the human being and the other animals.
而西方的文化就在理性的架构上建立了整个他们的系统。
And Western civilization is built upon the structure of the reason.
那么呢，东方呢是以良心作为人与动物之间的分界。
But in the East, we use conscience as the segregating point.
这个特别是孟子的贡献。
Especially in the contribution of Mencius.
东方的文化就以心性跟这个良心的功用建立了东方这个文化的架构。
And Eastern civilization is built on the structure of the conscience and also the ideal.
所以这两个最重要的进化论的学者，
both these important evolutionists,
他们都没有办法解决理性跟良心的功用到底是怎么样产生出来的。
Cannot explain where the reason and conscience come from.
所以严格的告诉我们，进化论的本身需要一些信仰，而这些东西绝对不是科学。
And therefore, it tells us that you need faith to believe in the theory of evolution, and they are not scientific.
对基督徒来说，这些问题根本不成为问题。
But to Christians, these are not problems.
因为人是按照上帝的形象样式被造的。
For the human being is made in the image of God.
所以人有真理的思考。
And so we seek after the truth.
人有意义的表达。
We express meaning.
人有语言的表现。
We manifest ourselves with languages.
人有思想的交通。
We communicate with thoughts.
人有良心道德功用的责任感。
We have a sense of responsibility from our conscience.
这个都是人有上帝形象样式多方面的这个层次的功能的表达。
And this is the expression in the multi aspect of us being made in the image of God.
所以严格的说起来，一个人相信进化论所面对的困难是比相信创造论更大更大的。
Strictly speaking, there's a lot more difficulty in accepting the theory of evolution than creation.
进化论里面要给我们整个现象的这个了解，做正面的合理的回答的困难性是比基督徒难得多的。
The theory of evolution has a lot more difficulty in giving us the answer that we are seeking for than Christianity.
这些化石的存在，
the existence of all the fossils,
最多只能告诉我们曾经有这种货物或者留下的骨头到现在我们找到。
At best, it can tell us that there were once living beings like this.
如果你把这些就当作是我们的祖先的话，
But if you consider this to be our ancestors,
那你需要更多的信心，是根本没有科学的根据，没有合理的解释的可能去衬托的，这简直就是个迷信。
You really need a lot more faith to think that these are your ancestors. It is very near to superstition.
所以这些化石的猿人的这些的存在不能构成我们更相信进化论是科学的。
Therefore, the existence of all these fossils cannot be the reason why we will believe more in the theory of evolution.
因为在这种信仰里面所找到的困难比找到的信仰的根据是更多的。
Because you will find a lot more difficulty in this sort of faith than proof.
所以有一个学者讲一句话。
A scholar once said,
人之所以接受进化论，不是因为它已经是被科学证明出来合理的事情。
The human being accepts the theory of evolution not because it has been proven.
人之所以接受进化论，因为它比较适合现在的潮流，比较使人可以解脱迷信的指责。
We accept the theory of evolution because it's more convenient for us that we can escape from superstition.
当人叫你有科学，为什么你不相信？你还信古老的宗教的时候，你可以从这里得到一个慰藉，说我现在是一个比较有知识基础的现代人。
When people laugh at you and say, why don't you believe in the theory of evolution? You will believe because you want to be more scientific.
所以基督徒在这件事情上，除非你先把自己的信仰踏在脚下。
In this matter, Christians ought to understand that firstly, we ought not to step our religion down.
你有毫无自信地说，启示是不可能， 创造是不可能，而我不得不要妥协于这种没有科学根据的理论，才叫做时髦，才叫做合理的现代人。
If you are not confident of yourself, you would think that creation is not possible, revelation is not possible, so you have to accept this theory.
否则我们不需要。
Or if we don't have the, if we have the confidence, you don't need to do that.
我不需要惧怕。
We do not need to be frightened.
我们勇敢地相信有创造。
We need to understand boldly that there is a creation.
虽然这是信仰，但是这是非常合理的信仰。
Although this is faith, but this is a reasonable faith.
虽然这不是科学可以证明的事情，但是这也是科学没有资格证明的事实。
Although this is something that cannot be proven by science, it is something science is not worthy to prove.
科学的层次太低了。
Science is at too low a level.
科学也就是孔子所讲的得物致知的那一个层面。
Science belongs to the classification of Confucius.
换句话说，超过了物的层面的时候，科学已经无能为力了。
In other words, science cannot deal with things that is beyond matter.
所以人之所以有心灵的感应，人之所以有理性的功能，人之所以有良心的责任跟道德的功用，这些根本不是科学有资格证明的事情。
And science is not worthy to prove that the human being is spiritual, can, is able to reason and has a conscience.
不但如此，道文这段年老自己承认，他从来没有因为相信进化方法的可能而沦落变成一个无神论者。
And Charles Darwin himself admitted in his old age that he has never become an atheist because he believed in the evolution.
所以物种起源的最后一面的最后一段。
The last passage of the origin of species.
他肯定第一个生命是上帝那里来的。
He affirmed that the first life form came from God.
他用造物主这个字用了很多很多的词。
He used the word creator many times.
所以他相信创造是需要的。
So he believed it is needed to create.
创造是因为创造主的工作。
That creation came from the creator.
生命不是从无生命产生的。
And life did not come from non-life.
生命是创造主的生命传下来的。
And life came from the life of the creator.
而他甚至用了用创造主用他的吹气把第一个生命赐下来。
And he used the breathing of breath by the creator to give the first life.
这样他的原始他的这个开始的这个思想。
And so this origin thought of the first creation.
从以后他假设的进化物竞生存天然淘汰的理论配合起来。
And then he combined it with this idea of the survival of the fittest.
就产生了今天这样壮观的宇宙。
And then he said that the whole universe came about.
我们想这一件事情的进展，我们会感到非常可畏惧、非常尊严的事情。
It is something that is very grand for all of us.
这是他最后一句话，物种起源的理论。
This was his last passage in the Origin of Species.
当然，他没有想象到进化论会落在共产党手中，变成他们无神论的基础之一。
But he did not expect that the communists would make use of this as the basis for their atheism.
他也没有想到进化论会落在帝国主义的手中，变成弱肉强食的道德基础。
And he would not have expected the imperialists to use this as a basis for their strength.
所以这样你就看见有一个很特别的规律，是许多人没有注意到的，就是历史运动的副作用常常遮盖超过了正作用。
And this is a principle that few people realize. It is a secondary effect of history always cover the main effect.
列宁自己承认，为了要使他的党巩固起来，一定要消灭反对党的那些异己的分子。
Lenin himself confessed that in order to strengthen the party, he must get rid of all dissidents.
结果呢，一个不能避免的副作用来到了，仇恨的种子就在共产党苏维埃的中间，像不可量蔓延，无可消灭，无可收拾。
And so inevitably the secondary effect of the seeds of hatred was sowed among the Soviets.
这是他死以前承认的一句话。
This was something Lenin admitted before he died.
所以列宁死以前他说，除非以后的苏联有50个圣人起来整顿苏维埃的这个道德，我们是没有前途。
Lenin said, we have no future unless there's 50 saints that will rebuild the Soviet ethics.
进化论也是如此。
This is the case for the theory of evolution.
进化论就变成道德上支持了帝国主义的发展。
Evolution supported the establishment of the imperialists.
支持了殖民主义的凶势。
And it also helped the colonists move.
凡是强的民族，侵吞弱的民族， 凡是更有文化的民族消灭次等文化的民族，这都是天公地义的事情。
And people think that it's natural that the stronger race would destroy the weaker races.
这种思想接着演进到变成希特拉的工具的时候，
And when this thought reaches the hands of Adolf Hitler,
希特拉一边抓住进化论，一边反对宗教信仰，一方面认为希特拉所代表的德国民族是全世界最优秀的民族，所以他侵吞全世界是最有理由，是不必辩论的。
And Adolf Hitler hold on to the theory of evolution and believe the German race to be the strongest, therefore it need to rule over the rest of the world.
所以我们相信，你接受进化论，不是关于你自己的胃口、你自己的品味、你自己选择的自由的这种学术性的这种权柄而已。
And so when you accept the theory of evolution, it's not just simply a personal matter.
因为这以后牵涉到了各样的政治的、社会的、人与人之间关系，以及历史的方向，都有很大的副作用在其中。
It has a lot of consequences politically, socially, and also interpersonally.
所以我看见19世纪以后
，After the 19th century，
势如破竹的帝国主义跟这个殖民主义就横扫了全世界。
Imperialism and colonialism swept the whole world.
将在西方最高成就的社会历史中间，忽然变成用最好的名称过了一个最野蛮的侵占别人土地的生活。
And at the height of Western civilization, there were a lot of attacking and a lot of conquering.
这其中进化论的影响跟进化论带来给他们的破坏性是没有办法否认的事情。
And you cannot deny that a lot of this came about because of the influence of the theory of evolution.
直到20世纪初期的国民运动产生的时候
，And in the beginning of the 20th century when nationalism came about,
许多的民族为了他们的自尊心起来争取独立。
Many people wanted to have independence for their own race.
到第一世界大战结束的时候
，At the end of the First World War,
各地的民族主义形成的民族运动跟独立运动就变成雨后春笋，没有办法抗拒。
Many countries in the world declare independence and they cannot be stopped.
才制足了这个借着进化论产生的政治的副作用对全世界的危害。
And all the harm that the theory of evolution brought was stopped temporarily.
但是进化论的种子又进到这个希特拉的思想中间。
But the seed of evolution has entered into the thoughts of Adolf Hitler.
所以借着所谓他个人的奋斗，使全世界几千万人死于非命。
Because of his own personal struggle, millions in the world died.
他之所以杀人不见血、勇气十足的根据，就是弱肉强食、物竞天存。
And the basis of his action was that the strongest must survive.
今天很多人没有把进化论的危害性跟现在的教育、跟现在的政治、跟整个二十世纪的整个文化跟政治动向之间的关联想得清楚。
And today, very few people understand the link between the theory of evolution and all these political and social problems.
许多的事情不是像你所想象的那么简单。
So many things are not so simple.
因为每一个关系都节节相连、节节相扣，是很难分开来。
Every event is related to another event and difficult to segregate.
只有当我们回到圣经的道理中间
，Only when we return to biblical principles,
你才照着圣经的原理。人都是按照上帝的形象造的，所以没有弱肉强食是可以被容忍的。
And you understand biblical principle that all are made in the image of God. There's no such thing as the fittest surviving.
两个礼拜我要在印尼一个很大的讲座提到的所谓的民族主义以及国际的这个多元论的讲座里面。
And 2 weeks later in Indonesia, I'm going to be speaking about nationalism and also globalization.
我会提到的两种不同本质的民族主义。
I will talk about 2 different forms of nationalism.
从现象来看都是一样的。
On the surface phenomena, they look the same.
一种是把全世界带到更大同的建设性的民族主义。
One is constructive to bring the world into a more unified manner.
这种民族主义越民族主义越国际价值。
And so the more nationalistic it becomes, the more internationalized it becomes.
另外的一种民族主义是摧毁、是破灭、是制造国际纷争跟争战的民族主义。
But the second form of nationalism will bring about a lot of disputes.
而是这种民族主义，越民族主义越狭窄，也产生对世界末日 很可怕的毁灭性的贡献。
And the more fervent they become, the more destructive this will be.
所以这个我们一定要分清楚。
We need to segregate carefully.
我盼望基督徒不要接受一个名词，就以为只要一个解释，就钻牛角尖，就在这个无底坑里面把自己堕落下去。
And Christians ought not to just hold on to one concept and then be stuck with it forever.
我们一定要照着圣经的原则，以神的宝座来看一切事态的发展，跟回到上帝预备的义路里面来奔跑。
We need to move our life based on the revelation of the Bible and the throne of God.
这样我们看见进化论就变成全世界所有的教育机构、所有的学校、所有现代化的社会所接受、认为是理所当然的生物学原理的教导。
And the theory of evolution is now the default lesson in all the schools and education institutions.
而且很可惜的，当进化论一出来的时候。
And sadly, when the theory was first proposed,
基督教里面有一些的人数马上感到格格不入，就起来奋战为信仰来忠心争斗的时候，他们都是不学无术，只懂得用权威去轻看仇敌的态度来自讨羞辱。
There were Christian leaders that fought against the theory, but unfortunately, they were not people who were able to do so, and they used power to despise these scientists.
那些反进化论的人，很多是自己不懂进化论，误解进化论，把进化论那些不关重要的事情当作取笑别人的自沾自喜，结果呢，使许多人更讨厌基督教。
And those who were against the theory of evolution did not study into it and they took a despising attitude towards it. In the end, people were against Christianity.
我们今天有文化使命的归正信仰运动的人，不应当走那条肤浅而自私的道路。
Those of us who understand the cultural mandate in the Reform Evangelical Movement ought not to take such a shallow way.
当我17岁的时候，我要决定是接受无神论、唯物辩证、这个历史观、一言论的发展、进化论的社会思想，或者要继续持守是以耶稣基督作为救赎的救主，把人带回上帝的基督教信仰。
When I was 17, I faced the decision-making process where I do accept evolution or atheism and logical positivism, or do I want to accept the Bible?
我最后很痛苦的挣扎以后，我放下了这些当时被认为最先进的文化的潮流，我回到基督教的信仰里面来。
I made a very painful struggle, and in the end, I got rid of all the very popular modern theories and returned to the Bible.
然后我说，主啊，你要回答我一切的问题，我就奉献自己一生一世到全世界去回答任何人一切的问题。
I say, O Lord, if you were to answer my queries, I will give of myself to you and I will travel the world to answer all the questions.
后来我发现问进化论的人很多。
I later discovered many people ask about the theory of evolution.
问唯物论的人很多。
Many people ask about the materialism.
受无神论影响的人很多。
Many people are influenced by atheism.
所以我就跟普通的神学院毕业的学生走不同的路线，专找人信仰的拦阻，为他们打开一条信仰可能性的争辩办法，把福音带给他们。
And so I decided to go on a pathway that's different from other seminary graduates by answering questions, removing obstacles to the intellect.
当我再接触到归正神学的时候
，And when I came across reform theology,
我发现这原就是圣经里要我们走的路线。
I discovered that this was what the Bible wanted us to do.
也是保罗在雅典的雅留巴古跟那些哲学家争辩的时候所采取的方法。
What the apostle Paul did in Athens when he was debating with the people.
这一方面的发展在正统的所谓学术性很高的神学院中间都没有什么贡献，也没有什么训练。
But very few seminaries will train people or teach people in this manner.
这是很可惜、很可惜的事情。
Something that is regretful.
当我18岁在高中最后一年的时候
，In my last year of high school when I was 18,
我们的老师给我们做一个作文，叫做《真理必定得胜》。
The teacher asked us to have an essay entitled "The Truth Will Always Win."
我是在唯物论的学校、共产学校里面读书的人。
At that time, I was studying in a school influenced by communism.
我那个时候已经相信耶稣，也已经奉献做传道。我知道基督是真理，所以我说这是给我的机会，为主做见证，告诉我的老师，耶稣必定得胜。
And because I've already given my life to God, I wanted to show the teacher that Jesus Christ will be victorious.
但是真理得胜不得胜，我一这么写，老师一定得胜。
But I know no matter what I do, the teacher will be victorious.
那我整个作文的 有可能一个零分，连这一科我都不及格，我就不能毕业了。
And he may fail me, and I cannot graduate.
所以我在祷告中间，主啊，你一定得胜，但我不一定得胜。
So in prayer, I say, Oh Lord, you will be victorious, but maybe I will not be.
求主现在先给我得胜我，不要得胜别的，我能得胜我自己，我才可以跟随你。
Help me to be victorious over myself before I can follow you.
我就拿起笔来，第一句说， so、我知道这个文篇，这一篇文章可能得来一个零分。
So I wrote in the first sentence, I say, maybe I will get zero for this essay.
我心里想，我这样讲，他就不可能给我零分的。
Because I think if I write like that, the teacher will never give me zero.
因为你逼老师跟学生走，他一定有他的骄傲，他不要这么做的，所以我就不会零分了。
I know I will not get zero if I write.
我现在想起来，那时候我一定有一点心理学的这个才干在里面。
Maybe I'm a bit gifted in psychology.
虽然如此
，although this，
作为一个基督徒
，as a Christian，
我要勇敢承认我的信仰。
I must acknowledge my faith.
勇敢为我所信的真理争辩。
And also debate based on what I
know. 无论代价如何
，no matter what the price may be.
就在两个钟头里面
，in 2 hours，
我就一直写了九面的纸。
I kept writing 9 pages.
把无神论、辩证化、进化论这些的东西错误全部讲出来。
To list out all the errors of the various theories.
下课钟一打的时候，我刚好写完就交上去。
And then I submitted the form right on time.
那我从初中开始，我的作文都是85、88、80多分，从来没有比80更低的。
I have always scored more than 80 points in all my essay writing.
可能是全班最高的分数。
Always about highest in class.
那一次我交了九面了，平常两面就80多分，那个应该350分才可以的。
But that time I submitted 9 pages of my essay.
结果分出来的时候
，In the end,
62分
，62 marks.
后面几句评语
，With some critique.
整篇文章喧宾夺主。
The whole essay has the focus on the wrong place.
趁机会介绍你的迷信跟你的独断。
You are using the opportunity to introduce your superstition.
所以给你扣很多分。
So I minus many marks.
我感谢上帝，只有差20分罢了。
So only 20 marks from 82.
应该说应该300多分了，剩下60分。
60 over marks.
那么其他的分跑到哪里去呢
？Where are the rest of the marks?
我谢谢无神论的老师替我储蓄在天堂。
The atheist God had planted it in the bank.
以后我一定拿好了。
I will get it from heaven later.
可事情没有结束哎。
But this was not the end.
他就把机长，把我的班长带去了。
And she brought the class monitor along.
你知道唐崇荣写这篇文章的时候是不是抄出来的
？He asked the monitor, "Did you know if this Stephen Tong copied from somewhere?"
是不是他早就预备了这个东西，就把这个东西粘在这里，就钉成这本这个作业的布给我呢
？And did he prepare this beforehand and just submit it as his work?
我的班长说不，他就坐在我旁边，我亲眼看他满头大汗一直写，两个钟头就写完了。
The class monitor said, "No, he was sitting right beside me, and I saw him perspire." And writing.
所以我是为他见证，他没有作弊，也没有抄书，他实在在那里写下来。
The class monitor said, "Can bear witness that he indeed wrote the essay."
他可以写得这么快，又不会想吗
？How can he write so fast without thinking?
所以你把他叫来。
So summon him here.
就把我叫去了。
So I went.
哇，我心里糟糕了，耶稣会得胜，我一定失败。
I said, "Jesus will have victory, but not me."
所以我进到他的办公室以前呢
，Before I enter into the office，
我就说主啊主啊，可怜我可怜我。
I say, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me."
米已经煮成饭了。
Because now the thing has
been done. 现在能不能再变成稀饭，我就不懂了。
I don't know what will happen next.
求主你怜悯。
Have mercy on me.
心里很害怕，18岁的孩子嘛。
I was afraid. I was 18.
没有什么名堂，没有什么经验。
I had no experience.
啊，我这个老师是鲁迅的朋友哎。
But this teacher was a friend of the writer Lu Xun.
他在上海跟鲁迅一个小团体里面。
In Shanghai, he is part of an inner group with Lu Xun.
所以在印尼他是最好的国学的老师。
So in Indonesia, he was most famous.
所以我要跟他怎么辩呢
？How would I debate with him?
而且他转身一变，又变成这个共产党，变成无神论的知识分子。
He can be a communist intellectual anytime.
我去找到那边的时候
，When I went there,
我快要敲他的门进办公室的时候
，Before I entered into his office,
有一节的圣经浮起来了。
A Bible verse came.
你被带到衙门去的时候，不必怕，说什么？因为我的灵与你同在。
Do not be afraid when you see the governor, because my spirit is with you.
我要给你你刚讲的话语。
I will give you words. You are.
我的主啊，你是信实的，我相信今天你一定成就这句话在我身上。
I say, Oh Lord, you are faithful. I know you will be faithful to me.
老师有什么事吗
？Teacher, what do you want?
坐下来。
Sit down.
这篇文章你自己写的。
Did you write this essay?
是
，I did.
你有没有参考什么书写的
？Did you follow any books?
我也不知道老师要出什么题目，我怎么会带参考这个样书进来呢
？I answered, I don't know what your topic is. How would I know?
你两个钟头写这么多吗
？Can you write all this in 2 hours?
是，所以字比较潦草，请原谅。
I said I did, but so the words is a bit messy.
你是基督徒。
You are a Christian.
你趁机会要向我传教是吗
？Are you taking the opportunity to preach to me?
不是。
I said no.
正如我第一段讲的，我是把我所信的真理讲清楚。
As I have written, I am telling you the truth that I know.
你知道这个学校是共产学校吗
？Do you not know that our school is a communist school?
我知道。
I know.
我相信共产学校里面基督徒应该有发言的自由。
But I believe that the Christian ought to have the freedom of speech in this school.
现在回答我。
Answer me now.
你说
，You said，
人可以喝牛奶，不可喝猴奶，水就不是猴子变的。
You said that a human being can drink milk from the cow, but not from the monkey, so he cannot come from the monkey.
你们哪一个人是喝猴奶长大的？请举手。
Those of you who grew up drinking the milk from the monkey, please raise your hand.
猴跟人的关系很亲吗？
The monkey is quite close to the human being.
为什么我们的母亲忘记这个亲戚，去找牛的奶来养我们呢
？Why did our mother forget this and feed us with the milk from a cow?
所以你告诉我。
So tell me.
照你的理论。
Based on your understanding.
人是不是牛变的了
？Should we have been involved from the
cow? 为什么人可以吃牛奶呢
？How can we drink the milk?
我说主啊，要死了，这样难的问。
How can I answer?
后来我就平心静气。
But I was quite calm.
我说老师
，I said teacher.
根据进化论
，based on the theory of evolution.
人跟猴子很靠近的
，we are very close to the apes.
人跟牛很远的
，and very far from the cow.
我就不明白为什么远亲可喝其奶，近亲不能喝其奶。
So why can't we drink the milk from the apes instead of the cow?
这个我是不能回答，但是我盼望老师回答好吗
？I cannot answer this, so I wonder if the teacher can answer.
他以为一问我就倒了。
The teacher thought that she will make me fall.
没有想到，我一问回去，他就倒了。
But I could rebuke him.
所以他就我不知道几次
And he spent a lot of time trying to figure out.
结果呢，他说走，把我赶出去了。
In the end, he said get lost.
所以后来我发现很多问题我都解答，很多我的问题人都不解答了。
I see. I find out later many people will not answer my questions.
那是18岁的时候。
I was 18 back then.
后来，当我在27岁一次布道会的时候，我发现那个老师已经老了，就在门口在那边听聚会。
When I was 27 in a gospel rally, I discovered the teacher out there.
怎么这个无神论的老师会参加布道会，在门口外面等呢
？Why would this 80s teacher participate in a gospel rally and wait for me?
他说我的孩子在这里，我要带他回去。
He said that, oh, my children came, so I want to come and fetch them back.
我说老师，我盼望你会信耶稣。
I said, teacher, I hope you believe in Jesus.
但是经过常年思考以后，本来有一些问题，好像只有宗教才能解答。
The teacher said, after so many years of thinking, I think some problem can only be solved by faith.
这是很小小的一段插曲。
This is a small interlude.
告诉我那个时候怎样为主做见证。
To tell me how to bear witness for the Lord back then.
有一次进化论的题目出来。
There was once a topic on evolution came.
那我就照着进化的理论全部回答了。
I answered it based on the theory.
回答完了，我挂胡最后一句，因为我大的不平安，这个不是我的信仰，为什么这样回答呢
？But in the end, I had no peace, so I put a parenthesis there.
所以我最后就挂胡，这是进化论的思想，我是没有接受的。我就这样交代清楚了。
I said that this is the theory, but I do not accept it.
因为我相信上帝的创造。
I believe that God has created.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹
，Dear brothers and sisters，
达尔文的进化论是一发不可收拾的一个理论。
The theory of Charles Darwin is a very spectacular one.
啊，达尔文的理论是一个假设，而不是一个被证明的理论。
But it is an assumption and not something that has been proven.
达尔文的理论他自己假设提出来以后。自己说他是没有证据的一个假设。
After he has proposed the assumption, he himself acknowledged he has no proof.
达尔文的理论是一个需要后人继续不断的发展，才能知道这个理论到底有多少真实性跟科学的这个支持。
The theory need to be supported by people after him to find out how scientific it is.
因为可能性发现困难太多，没有办法接受。不管人类有没有勇敢把这个理论丢掉。
The other possibility that is that you discover there's too many loopholes, too many problems, but do you have the courage to discard it?
因为这个理论 到现在这150年里面，有很多很多的科学家可以指出里面的毛病在哪里。
For the past 150 years, many scientists can point out its problem.
失去了一环，没有真正的找到，也没有真正的科学证明我们是演化而来的。
The missing link cannot be found, and there's no proof that we have a product of evolution.
不但如此，化石鉴定年龄的方法也因为时间的变迁、方法论的改进，越来越不可靠。
And not only that, the way they age, they determine the age of an object is not trustworthy.
一块的化石，你要知道它有多少的年龄，你有几种辨认的方法。
There are many methods to try to ascertain the age of a fossil.
第一种方法就是叫做碳元素第十四的方法 ，carbon 14的办法。
The first method is the carbon 14 method.
但用这个 carbon 14的办法鉴定出一块是500,000年历史的化石。
If you determine that a fossil is 500,000 years old,
当方法论改进，用复元素再查的时候，就变成只有50,000年。
But if you change to another method, it may become 50,000 years old.
所以人类一进步20年，就马上新的方法出来，他马上年轻450,000岁。
And so as the years progress, the fossil gets younger and younger.
有多少的女孩子盼望20年里面化妆品一改变，你就年轻450,000岁
？Many young ladies would like that.
所以这样呢，你就没有办法知道他到底真正的年龄是多少。
So there is no way to determine the true age.
还有从继续不断流动的海洋。中间的那些人类用过的东西的这些沉淀物，告诉我们这个海洋中间的沉淀历史，人类住在地球上是不会太久的。
And from the sediments of the river, it tells us that we human history is not too long.
还有许多许多进化论认为是天真，是这个正确的事情。
And there are also many things that the theory of evolution considered to be true.
是千真万确的证据的。
That they seem to have a lot of evidence for.
被证明出来不是如此。
All have been overturned.
有一些鱼被认为是两栖货物中间很明显的这个物种演化的重现的这种证据。
And some fishes that has been considered as the link between the amphibians and the fish and the
mammals. 后来被发现这种鱼在澳洲存在着千千万万只。根本跟他们的理论完全不一样。
They discovered the fish to be still alive in Australia.
德国有一个受英国达尔文主义影响的生物学家，叫做 Ernst Haeckel, H-A-E-C-K-E-L.
In Germany, there is a biologist by the name of Haeckel.
这个人呢，他说呢，人类在胚胎里面的情形，就是呢，重新表演人类进化过程，从这个水里直到爬到两栖到地面中间变成哺乳类动物再一次表现的一个记录。
Haeckel believed that the fetus and the growth of the fetus actually demonstrate how we evolve.
这个是完全没有科学根据的事情，很多科学家都不接受这个理论。
But many scientists would not accept this because there's no basis to it.
后来还有一些的理论告诉我们，现在我们有很多的东西在身体里面。有差不多95种的器官是现在根本没有功用，所以可以马上可以切除，没有妨碍我们的存在。
There are some people that propose that there are about 95 organs in the body that are redundant.
这些的器官就是表示从前我们需要，因为进化就变成不需要的一个证明。
They say that these are evidences of the process of evolution.
其中最出名的就是扁桃腺。跟我们的盲肠
，The most famous one will be the thyroid and also the appendix.
盲肠的存在跟不存在没有影响一个人的生活。
The appendix doesn't seem to affect our life.
扁桃腺把它拿掉没有影响这个人的发育。
Or the tonsils doesn't seem to have anything to do with it.
所以这些怎么会存在呢
？So why would these things exist?
这是进化遗留下来不需要的东西。
The proposal is that they're redundant because of evolution.
换句话，有这些的器官是变成退化。变成没有用的。
In other words, these organs are useless.
那么进化是从简单变成更复杂、更复杂、更完美、更高尚的步骤才叫做进化。
But evolution comes when the simple become more complicated.
但是这里有几十种器官没有用，表示不是进化的原理，而是退化的原理。
But because you seem to have so many organs that are redundant, it is actually not evolving, but actually digressing.
对，又有医学家发现。
And also medical scientists discover.
当一个胚胎已经变成婴孩生出来的开始，它的盲肠就没有功用。但是在怀胎期间，盲肠是有用处的。
That the appendix has its function when a person is still in its fetal stage.
所以原始的或者19世纪中期产生的进化论所提出了很多生理学的事情，现在变成笑话。And
so many of the theories that was developed is now discarded and considered a joke.
后来物理学家又发现一件事情跟进化的理论完全违背的。Biologists
also discovered things that are different from the theory.
这个是热力动能的物理学的第二条定律。
The second rule of the thermodynamics.
Thermodynamics second law 里面提到什么呢？
What does it say?
提到了一个很重要的程序。
A important process.
就是物质或者一些的东西是从原有的完美，慢慢就变得越来越差，越来越坏，越来越损，越来越破灭的。
And that things will always be decaying.
所以，但是不是什么的东西会越来越进步，越来越进步，越来越完美，越来越复杂，越来越灿烂，不是这样的事情。
Not the other way around, where it becomes more and more advanced on its own.
所以，进化论的假设是建立在很幼稚的乐观的心态上的。
And therefore, the theory of evolution is built upon very optimistic naivety.
而物质的世界真实的见证不是乐观的，是使我们悲观的。
But the material world gives us a pessimistic outlook.
你把一个很好的东西放在那边，过了100年，它会更好吗？不会，它会更坏。
When you put a very good object there, 100 years later, it will decay more.
我们有收藏习惯的，爱收藏一些东西。
Some of us are collectors.
哇，你说我收藏 Mont Blanc 的钢笔。
So you say I collect Mont Blanc.
哇，你花了多少钱，用了你血汗的钱买了一支东西，存在那边，5年把它拿来看，难看死了。
If you spend a lot of money buying the pen, 5 years later it will look lousy.
特别是用银包金的这个 Mont Blanc 的笔。
Especially Mont Blanc that has silver and gold content.
过了几年呢，那个金就变成有斑纹的，就是黑黑的，难看的不得了。
A few years later, it will become spotted.
哦，虽然用金包了银，但里面的银的那种化铁氧化的影响，外面的金就变得很难看了。
Because although it's silver coated with gold, it actually has chemical reactions.
那你用牙膏了，用什么东西把它擦，又恢复好看。我告诉你，没办法。
You may be polished it for a while, but it will not last.
你除非带回 Mont Blanc， 再给他赚一笔钱，才解决问题。
You need to bring it back to Mont Blanc to let them plate it again.
你的币不再进化，进化的是那个公司赚钱的办法。
So it is the company that is evolving, not your pen.
整个世界的情形都是一样。
This is the way the whole world is.
所以圣经说世界慢慢变旧了。
The Bible says that the world is slowly becoming old.
这是根据创造世界的上帝在犯罪以后给我们启示的话语。
And this is the revealed word of God after the world has fallen.
道文说这个世界越变越好，越变越高超，最后最荣耀的人就变成了进化的成全。
But Charles Darwin says the other way around, where the world become better and better and better, and a human being came about.
这是罪人一个很幼稚的乐观的解释法。
A very shallow thinking process by a sinner.
Thermodynamics 里面有一个字叫做 entropy。
In thermodynamics, there's a term called entropy.
Entropy 这个字，中文翻译成"伤"，就是这个火字边一个伤人的"伤"。
In Chinese, it's the word "伤"。
你们可以自己在去书里面或者在电脑里面去查这些事情。 Entropy, A-N-T-H-R-O-P-Y。 那这个就是热力的动能的物理学的第二定律告诉我们。
The second law of thermodynamics tells us this.
有一次我在这个美国的 University of Michigan, University of Medicine 在那边讲道的时候，
I was once preaching in the University of Medicine.
有3个北京大学的教授在那里听到。
There were 3 professors from Beijing University.
那么听到一半呢，他们就兴趣越来越浓，眼睛就睁得大大注意听，还有一个女教授。
Halfway, they were very interested, and a lady professor was there.
我因为只有一个晚上经过那个城市。
I was passing by only one evening.
我说我现在讲完了，要给你们解答问题。
I said, now I'm done, we will have question and answer session.
那么呢，有一个教授说不要回去，我一定要听他解答问题，因为别人有什么对他的挑战，我们可以知道他怎么回应这个事情。
And one of the professors wants to know how I will answer to all these questions.
其他的几个教授呢，就听他的话就留下来。
And so tell the other professors to stay behind.
等聚会完了以后呢,
After the service,
这个教授对我说一句话,
this professor said,
我们 以为呢，基督教是那些迷信的人的自我安慰的一个宗教。
We thought that Christianity is a self-consolating superstition.
我们没有想到，在美国一些最好的、最有智慧、有学问的教授，都是有基督教信仰的。
We did not realize that many of the most brilliant professors were Christians.
唐崇荣牧师
，and Dr. Stephen Tong.
我盼望有一天我成为基督徒。
I hope that one day I will become a Christian.
我现在最大的困难就是，到底进化论跟基督教之间的冲突要怎么解决
？My biggest difficulty is the conflict between evolution and creationism.
我就告诉他，请你好好研究这个 thermodynamic 第二条定律，来知道进化论的困难在哪里。
So I tell him to study.